You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
This episode of Fat Mascara is sponsored by BetterHelp. Listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small. Therapy is a safe space to get those things off your chest. Plus, it can help you develop coping skills that make your life easier. I will give you an example. If you've listened to this podcast for a while, you've probably heard me say it to Jess or to a guest, reframe. Well, I learned that technique from a therapist. Here's an example. Now that I'm a freelance writer and podcaster, I get lonely working from home, and I feel like I'm never going to get to collaborate on projects again. And that's the truth. Reframe, I get to choose which projects I work on, so I'm in control of what I work on. And if I want to collaborate more with others, I don't have to ask anyone's permission. I can just do it. See what I did there? That's reframing. If you've been thinking about starting therapy or are looking for someone to help you process things and give you coping skills, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/mascara today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/mascara. Again, BetterHelp.com/mascara. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms. Hey everyone, welcome to Fat Mascara. I am Jen Sullivan.
I'm Jess Matlin. How are you?
How are you, everyone? How am I? I'm good. I'm excited it's Friday because I get to sit back and relax. No, just kidding. I do on this one though, because I was not here for this interview. I get to live fresh. Like, it's a fun, exciting. I'm a fly on a wall watching Jess Matlin do her thing.
So this interview is one that I'm particularly psyched about because we've had an interview with Poppy King before. Poppy King, as you may remember, is the founder of Lipstick Queen. Now, Lipstick Queen was a major, major brand, still is major. Like, you can't take away Lipstick Queen from, like, everything it was, but she's no longer with Lipstick Queen. She founded Lipstick Queen long ago. She actually even had a brand when she was a teenager called Poppy. She's now moving into, like, her new era, which I can't wait to tell you about. But we had her on years and years ago, like, when we first started the podcast, and now we're going to talk about where she is now, but also what she thinks about the industry as a whole as it stands right now. She has some very strong opinions. She's never been one to mince words. She's always been really, like, one of the most progressive, forward-thinking people in the industry, and she just marches to the beat of her own drum. So let's sit down with Poppy and hear where she is right now and what we can expect in the next few months. So let's take it away. Hi, Poppy.
Hi, Jess.
This is so nice to do this on a Friday with you. This is so great.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm a little bit out of practice, sweetie, you know, because I've been in hiatus.
It's okay. It's just a conversation. Okay, so let's get to it. So, Poppy, it has been so long. I'm very excited to have you back on the show because it's been years. I'm ready to introduce you to some of our listeners know who you are, and they're very excited that you're back on. They're fans of Lipstick Queen. They followed you. But some listeners might not know who you are. So I'm going to try to be concise with my introductions. It's very difficult for me. It's a weakness. But what I'm going to try to say, this is like my new test for myself. How would I introduce you to a friend? So I would literally say, hi, this is my friend Poppy. And I would say, she is the lipstick queen. She is the queen of lipstick. How would you introduce yourself to a friend?
That's interesting. I mean, Lipstick Queen was my second brand. My first brand was called Poppy. That was the one that I had in Australia.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it was interesting because I saw Lipstick Queen as a sort of broad term, that there are so many of us that could be quote unquote lipstick queens in terms of devoted to lipstick. So it's so funny because people then started calling me the Lipstick Queen, which is kind of interesting because it was more about all of us being potential lipstick queens. But I guess the way that I introduce myself, and it always gets such a wide-eyed response. It actually happened to me yesterday when someone asked me what I did, and I said, I'm a lipstick designer.
Oh, that's awesome. A lipstick designer.
A lipstick designer. And I tell you, yeah, it's a real conversation starter.
You know, it's funny that you said that, like there are so many lipstick queens. I did think about that. I was like, you are the lipstick queen because that is like you are one of the few, and we'll talk about this more, you are one of the few, if not the only people in beauty who centered completely on lipstick. But then I thought, oh, well, like Bobbi Brown did start out with just the lipsticks, but then she expanded. And I think about other artists who are like Lisa Eldridge started out with just the lipsticks, but these are people who were very close to just lipsticks, but you stayed with just lipstick. You know what I mean? Like, and I think of you, your book, Confessions of a Lipstick Queen. Like you really are synonymous with lipsticks. You're always wearing a lipstick. You lead with the lips.
For me, I am actually at this point, I can say, the only person in the industry, even in the history of the industry, that has focused entirely for sort of 30 years on lipstick. And it's because of we'll get into this more, but it's because of my belief that lipstick really is a mind-altering substance in a good way. And it's just endlessly fascinating to me.
Tell me more about that. Like, you were searching for lipstick your whole life, right? Like, it's almost like an extension of yourself.
Well, it really started just when I was 7, actually. And so and I think that's a lot of time when a lot of kids will start with dress-ups. And for me, I kind of like was realizing the power of playing dress-ups and getting dressed up in my mum's clothes. But it was when I first put on lipstick that I had this kind of incredible experience with it that I wasn't expecting, which is it didn't just change me on the outside. What was more fascinating to me as a little girl was it made me feel different on the inside. I guess that word is confidence, but you don't know that at 7. And for me, 7 was a difficult age for me. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs, actually, if you peel back the beginnings of their entrepreneurship, it can often come from difficult times, not necessarily from that sort of light bulb. It can actually come more from a space of real personal search. And I think in my case, I was reading fairy tales, you know, as you do at 7. And even in Australia, we were very inundated with Disney's idea of fairy tales. And because of I recognized very early that I kind of had, because I have a prominent nose and curly hair, but then I also have big eyes and big lips, you know, that I had both features of both a witch and a princess. And I think for me, it was really difficult as a little girl to sort of think, okay, well, what am I? Am I a witch or am I a princess? And it was really when I found lipstick and put lipstick on that I kind of realized I don't have to be either.
Right. I never knew that story. And that's quite painful to think about a little girl. Not quite painful. It's very painful to think about a little girl even having a question mark in her head. Is she a witch or a princess?
I think it's actually much, much more common. I think it's really because when you look at fairy tales, which is really usually where a lot of girls and I'm sure little boys too get their ideas of beauty standards from first before anything else. And for me, it was just so clear when I looked in the mirror that kind of my features could go either way. And I guess for me, when I put on lipstick, I realized that there was a third way that I didn't have to choose. And that was a way of being a sort of empowered woman on the inside, regardless of what the standards were on the outside.
The fairy tale thing is very interesting. Did you ever share that with anyone who is in a place of power at Disney or anything?
Well, I actually did do some. Well, I ended up not doing it because I didn't agree with them. But Disney did approach me to do something, but not about that. I'm only really starting to share, Jess, this sort of true sort of early beginnings. And at this point in my life, at 51, I think for me, the story was always, and it's true, was that I couldn't find a matte lipstick in 1990 in Australia. I could only find shiny, glittery lipsticks. And that's kind of where the search started. But really, during the pandemic, which I know we're going to talk about, I had so much time because masks came in, so lipsticks were not exactly a necessary topic at the time. I had so much time to really, really think about really where did the search begin. And yes, the search began when I was 17 and I realized that I had a vintage kind of look and I was going to lean into it rather than fight against it, and I couldn't find any 1940s style lipsticks. I only found sort of pink shimmery lipsticks that looked great on all my friends, but me with a sort of more of an old-fashioned look, it looked terrible. But it's really during the pandemic when I think we all sort of had that time to really reflect back on all the choices we'd made in our life that I really started to realize that it really was that time of sort of trying to come to terms with whether the world was going to see me as a witch or whether they were going to see me as a princess that sort of led to my fascination with lipstick. And I have had the chance, I can't tell you what brand, but I had a meeting with 18 heads of departments of a major brand about 2 months ago, and I was telling this story, and one of the women interrupted me and said, "Oh my God, you have to write a children's book, The Witch Princess." So I am starting to say it really, to talk about it more, because I think it is something that is so, so influential in the early beginnings of our ideas of being female, that division between witch or princess.
Yeah, I mean, I think the story that you're telling me is one that I haven't heard, and maybe you have shared it with other media, but I haven't heard that.
No, you're the first. You're the first.
Wow, I feel very happy about this. No, because I think that's far more compelling than, you know, I've heard the story about the matte lipstick and all that, and that's nice, but it's not nearly as compelling as what you're sharing. And maybe it's because I have a daughter. Maybe it's because I've always, who's watching all of that. And my daughter goes like, she'll watch, you know, it's amazing how, you know, Cinderella, my husband, I always tell her like, Cinderella came out before my parents were born or Jeff's parents. Like, this is old. And, you know, this is still resonating with a three-year-old girl. She's watching it and she'll point, she'll go like, she's bad. And we're not telling her she's bad, but like, she knows she's bad, or the Snow White. She's watching Snow White. It's, what is that, from like the 30s? She goes, she's bad. She knows she's bad because why? Because she looks, well, I mean, she
like
gave
a witch.
She gave a hunter a knife. So, you know, but yeah. But yeah, it's kind of incredible.
And also another thing too, you know, when you really, because I have always been fascinated with transformation, and, you know, and fairy tales are always stories about transformation. And it's really, and one of the things that I really wish more little girls and little boys knew is that in the original Grimm's fairy tale version of Cinderella, which is pretty macabre, but forgetting that, the ugly stepsisters were actually beautiful on the outside. The ugly, it was only Disney that made them ugly, quote unquote ugly, on the outside. In the original Grimm's fairy tales, what made the ugly stepsisters ugly was their personalities, not their look.
Why would Disney change that?
Disney has been one of the biggest perpetrators of standardized beauty and in terms of binary ideas of beauty. And so a lot of what Disney has done with Grimm's fairy tales or with Hans Christian Andersen fairy tales is really very much about standardizing beauty.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, that's the Grimm's fairy tales were, yeah, definitely a little bit different than Disney. So let's rewind a little bit. And when you left Lipstick Queen, what happened there? Can you give us the story in a nutshell, Poppy? Because I'm sure it was complicated, as these things usually are.
It actually wasn't, you know. In the sense that really I had found myself in the position that a lot of beauty founders find themselves, where they no longer own the company because they've had to take in investors or owners in order to fund growth. And really why I left was I really didn't believe anymore in the growth strategy that was being suggested as the growth strategy for Lipstick Queen, and which was about filling it with a lot more product in order to gain more sort of real estate in our retailers.
Right.
And that's just not the way that I want to conduct my creativity, is just to fill gondolas at Sephora or Ulta. And so I really came to the decision that I wanted to leave and continue to do my narrow and deep focus on lipstick rather than, you know, fulfill a growth plan just with any products to sort of make a sales number happen. And so it was pretty simple. It was really just, it didn't reflect my values anymore.
Would that be something like, instead of just lipstick, we're going to do brow products, or would it just be a bigger world of lipstick?
I mean, it was really more when things started to, like, the hero SKUs of lipstick, meaning the hero products of Lipstick Queen that really carried it, were all these amazing single lipsticks that I developed. Hello Sailor, Medieval,
Frog Prince.
Yes, you know, and it was when there was the pressure to start what they call flankers or franchising that, and this one's been such a hit, let's do a blush in it, let's do a this in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not how I create. And it's not how I converse with the customer. I mean, so in terms of like just trying to sort of make them buy more of something, I'd rather sort of inspire them to buy something new and next rather than just sort of buy more of what is already working.
That makes perfect sense to me. Okay. So you left Lipstick Queen.
Can I say leaving Lipstick Queen was, I mean, I might even tear up now, but was one of the hardest decisions I've ever made. It was really, that was not a decision that came easily. It really was a decision that I really had to put my values first.
How long did you wrangle with it for?
Probably about 2 years, because when you started something from the ground up, literally you've been the one sort of in the warehouse doing, packing this, doing that, and you've seen it build to a multi-million dollar company, it really does feel at that point like a limb, like an arm or a leg or something like that. And leaving it felt very much like I was leaving a part of me behind. And it definitely will always be, I mean, Lipstick Queen now is owned by a private equity company, but I'll always have an umbilical cord to that. I will always love that brand because it came out of me.
Yeah, I'd imagine that felt really sad.
It was sad, but also it was really one of those, it was a situation that really made me understand that the same reasons, naive as they may be, that I started my first lipstick company at 18, are the same reasons at 51, and that is that I'm not here to do what everybody else is doing. I'm here to do something that is so unique in its focus and in its storytelling.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that's hard. That's really hard. Was there an aha moment where you were like, I know this is the time?
Yeah, I can visualize it, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like sort of like a last straw or something like that, or...
there was a last straw when I was told who I would be reporting to, and the background of this person was from a corporation that I know very well, and I just knew that if I had to report to that mentality, I couldn't do it. So I left.
I'm glad that you were able to stick to your values, and that's really admirable.
Thank you. It's something that wasn't easy because, in 2018 was really when I went to get started again, and then we all know what happened in 2020.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's not been easy to follow along with your journey so much because you are one of the few entrepreneurs, big beauty entrepreneurs, who isn't shouting about their every big business move on Instagram. That sounded way snarkier than I meant it to. I just mean you don't have a big Instagram profile, and that's been really intentional from you.
It has been very intentional, and I say this without judgment. I really mean it without judgment on anybody else around it. But for me personally, and that was another reason why I sort of also wanted to move away from Lipstick Queen, because I could see that the growth strategy was going to force me into having to do all of the TikTok videos, the this, the that, all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. And I mean that, like, if you have a public profile, if you're in beauty or any kind of big consumer business and you're the face of the business, you have to be out there, like, cutting a ribbon or shaking hands, wearing the product, like, it's part and parcel of the game.
It is, but for me, I really believe on a psychological level that social media is not a constructive medium. Of course, there can be bits and pieces of it that are, but I just immediately felt that it's not something, talking about my values, that fits with my values in terms of my whole reason for being is authenticity. And it's very hard, and I'll even put this on myself, it's very hard to be authentic on social media. Even if you set out to be, there's something drags you or drags me away from a kind of authenticity. And then I also don't want to commodify my authenticity. You know, I'm very happy to see people like Paulina Pozdorova-Kova and stuff like who are sort of talking about their flaws and, you know, age. But it's just not, for me, it's not a medium that I really believe in a long-term way. I think I said to you before that I feel like social media is kind of the smoking of our generation, that will sort of look back and realize how bad it is for you to have just constant images coming at you. And I just didn't want to be part of that visual pollution.
Visual pollution. I love that.
And also, Jess, I genuinely believe, and again, this is me at 17 and at 51 is the same thing, that when you have a really, really wonderful product, and what I think of as a wonderful product is something simple, something true, something consistent, and something with a point of view, right? When you have, so let's take Frog Prince, for example. The person, the founder, doesn't have to be on there hawking it. It's almost like the product should do it itself. Like, I feel that the challenge with social media is not for me to be on promoting myself, but
1,000%.
But to come up with things that are so contagious and inspiring that they promote themselves rather than me promoting me.
Well, it's like you see, I could think of all these fashion brands. Like, you don't necessarily see the designer out there on TikTok acting a fool.
I've never been on TikTok, not once. I've never seen a TikTok video. I mean, like, really.
Don't start. But yeah, it's like so I asked this question. So if you listen to Fat Mascara regularly, you will know that about a month or two ago, we had the amazing Leslie Hall on. Leslie Hall is like the last word in paid social for beauty. She is the founder of Iced Media. And we recorded with her for a long time, and we had to cut some of the questions out because just so that you weren't listening to an hour and a half podcast, because I know that that doesn't really land. But one of the questions that we cut out was a question I asked that I thought was, like, really clever, and I felt like it landed like a lead balloon. But the question that I asked who was. I was like, Leslie, do you think that a brand today could succeed being, I think we cut this out. Hopefully we cut this out and you guys aren't going to be like, oh, you left that in and you sounded like a fool. But I was like, Leslie, do you think a brand could succeed without being on social media today? Could not have answered me any quicker. She goes, no. And I felt like she was looking at me like, what kind of question is that? And I said, well, I had just come from this conference and it was like a luxury beauty conference like the week before. And I was on this panel and I was talking about Moda, our consumer, and how they shop. And the guy next to me, and I was talking about the importance of social. And the guy next to me was saying how many like super ultra high net worths like are not even on social. Now I know this is like a confluent, like these are different topics that we're talking about once, but he was saying how like the most elite thing right now is just to not even be on social. And that is like the ultimate aspiration, is like for an individual to not even be on social. But then I'm thinking, well, what if you apply that to a brand? Forget about the income and everything, but just like not even being on social. I was like, oh yeah, that must be really, that's super cool. And Leslie was like, your thinking doesn't track here. Like a brand has to be searchable on social. And I was like, oh.
I disagree.
I thought this was a cool theory and it was like, no. Well, no. No, Jazz.
I think you're right on for asking that question. But a lot of people are economically dependent on the idea that you have to be on social.
I thought it was like the, you know, like in, you go to like to a cool like speakeasy. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, you got to know someone who knows someone. You go, I mean, I don't do this anymore because I'm at home with my child. But like, it's like, here's the password. You got to go through the hot dog place.
I think, yes, it's possible for a brand not to be on social media, but the products need to be on social media. So what I'm saying is there's a distinction between the brand pushing itself on social media versus people actually spontaneously using the product. So I think you do need your products on social media, but I don't believe in being, I mean, I personally feel really shocked when I see brands like Chanel or whatever, if I'm scrolling through Instagram, whatever, and you see see Chanel and the next thing you see is something about the war in Ukraine. And, you know, it's just such a sort of river of information that I don't believe as a brand to be on social media, but I believe having products that people want to use and will use them on social media. So I see that as a distinction.
Mm, I get you. It's a very challenging thing to navigate. And I think visual pollution and the analogy made with smoking is absolutely perfect.
Well, I think what's going to happen with social, you know, and I've done the same business in two different centuries, right? So I started my first lipstick business in 1992, right? So in my niche lipstick, so that's a whole different century. And then I started my second lipstick business, Lipstick Queen, in the 21st century. So I've done the same business with and without social media. And what I really think is going to happen is I do think that there's going to be more and more evidence that this constant flow of random imagery coming at us is really not good for the nervous system. And I really do genuinely believe, and I may be the only person in New York City, but I do believe that ultimately social media will become something that only sort of diehard users use, and a lot of people will actually move away from, not a little bit like smoking.
Summer is fast approaching, which means it's shapewear season. Just kidding. It's really wedding season. But I just got an invitation to a wedding in Philadelphia, and guess what I'll be wearing? Honey Love. I'm not sure about the rest of the outfit or the dress, but the shapewear is going to be Honey Love. Here's why. Honey Love has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating when you're wearing shapewear. Plus, They have lingerie-inspired design details that you'll want to show off, and all their fabrics are breathable to keep you nice and cool, which is perfect for hot days. Let me tell you a story. I remember being at a wedding, this was a few years ago, pre-Honeylove, and I wore a jumpsuit, and I wasn't sure if the bathroom door locked well, but I had to take off the entire jumpsuit and then roll down the shapewear to pee, and I was like holding onto the back of the door at the same time, completely naked in the bathroom, and it took so long, and I caused this whole backup of the bathroom line, and after that, I was like, never again. Until Honeylove came along. Honeylove's superpower shorts have a 100% cotton gusset, so you don't have to wear underwear underneath. And there's a convenient opening in the underwear area, so you don't have to take off the whole thing to go to the bathroom. It's so easy. Honeylove products make you look good and feel good. Whether it's for a wedding, event, an everyday boost of confidence, Honeylove is the perfect plus one. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/mascara. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off. That's honeylove.com/mascara. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. honeylove.com/mascara for 20% off. The summer vibes are just getting started, so shape your life with Honeylove. Hey everyone, it's Jen, and I have decided this is going to be the summer of uniform dressing. I'm going to have a few pieces on heavy rotation, and I'm telling you right now, they're all going to be linen, and they're all going to be from Quince. I don't know why I'm going so hard on linen right now, but it just feels right. And Quince specializes in timeless pieces made of premium fabric, and the best part is that all the Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30. I am personally very into the 100% European linen pants. They're cropped and easy. There's even a cute pinstriped version. And when I wear them, I look like I just stepped off a yacht. Do I have a yacht? No. Do I know what yachters wear? No, but that's the vibe. The linen pants come in sizes extra small to 3X, and they're less than $40. Okay, like 10 cents less. They're $39.90. But the quality is excellent, and they wash really well. How does Quince do it? They cut out the cost of the middleman and pass the savings on to us. Plus, Quince works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/fatmascara for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com, Q-U-I-N-C-E, quince.com/fatmascara to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/fatmascara.
Okay, everyone, I am one of those people who, when it comes to wellness, sorry, but it's got to fit into the pockets of my day. 5 minutes here, 7 minutes there, when I'm like in the kitchen and I'm microwaving something long, it's got to be convenient. And that is why Alo Moves works for me. My mindset has changed. The app makes it easy for me to keep my wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place and bite-sized little bits. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, self-care tips, healthy recipes, so much more. From beginner to advanced, Alo Moves has the flow or class that's going to fit into your schedule. Their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour, depending on what you're feeling that day.
You know what feeling I'm feeling most days? I'm feeling 10 minutes. I've been doing Joanna Thompson's. Right, that's about it.
Yeah, that's good.
10 minutes. Joanna Thompson does these yoga lattes in 10. One day will be abs. One day will be arms. Today, Jess, is booty day. And we're just going to get it done all in 10 minutes. If you're trying to get a good sweat, then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like the sweat-inducing yoga flows or the reformer Pilates workouts without weights. You can also find stress relief with meditations, affirmations, face yoga, gua sha, learn to do dry brushing. How many times have we talked about dry brushing on this podcast? Alo Moves will teach you how to do it.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Alo Moves. Go to alomoves.com now and use the code MASCARA20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership. That's alomoves.com, code MASCARA20. alomoves.com, code MASCARA20. Okay, you've talked about followers. That word offends you, right?
Well, I guess I've just never wanted to be an influencer or have followers. I think the whole thing with social media for me, the moment it came out, I mean, I remember a friend of mine showing me Facebook like back in 2002 and seeing all the language around it. Like if you remember back to then, you could poke someone. Remember?
Oh my God. Oh yeah, that always grossed me out. Yeah.
So I just think all the language around it for me is off-putting. I don't really want to have followers. I would like to have sort of like-minded fellows, but not followers. And I think during the pandemic, I really had to sort of, as I was starting to think about doing my next brand, which is coming out here, as you know, Jess, I've got a new brand coming, that really kind of what it was that how I was going to, what it was that I was trying to do. And it's really, I don't market around aspiration. I market around imagination. And it's a different tone and it's a different frequency. And that's something that kind of will always make me different to any brand that's sort of on social media or anybody or an influencer. I mean, I just don't believe for me that an influencer is what I want to be.
Explain that difference between imagination and aspiration.
So aspiration is kind of when the trigger to buy is you're aspiring to be like somebody else. You're aspiring to some lifestyle or aspiring to something outside of yourself. Where for me, imagination, when I design a lipstick with imagination instead of like an aspiration to be like me or somebody else, that it's about the internal. It's about sparking something on the inside, whereas aspiration is on the outside. And I'm always about going back internal. I mean, I really do believe that beauty is, true beauty is an internal experience more so than it is anything else.
Well, I am in complete agreement. And while Jen isn't here, I know she feels the same because that's what we're always about at Fat Mascara. People always think like Fat Mascara, if they don't know what we do and we're explaining, but somebody who's not necessarily a beauty person, they're like, oh, well, do you tutorials or you teach people to how put on lipstick? I'm like, oh, my, no, that's not what, no.
I was out with friends last night and I was saying that I was doing this today and I was saying, like, it's just such a refreshing podcast, this one. For that reason. And again, I mean, I do want to emphasize, I'm not judging anybody else for how they're conducting themselves. It's just kind of having to come to terms with, people say, if you can't beat them, join them. It's just like, I can't join them.
No, yeah.
That's all I can do.
I share that. So you're going to be doing this new brand, which comes out around the fall, right? September,
yes.
October-ish. Okay, amazing. I will keep everybody posted on that. This is a new brand, but you're entering, okay, now you said you have a brand that's coming out, not only in your second century of doing this, but you're facing some new challenges or you're being a little bit, I feel, my sense is that you're far more vocal and much more honest. If you've always been honest, but I feel like you're much more vocal about the things that are pissing you off as you are launching a new brand. What challenges are you speaking up more about?
So really, I mean, because in the 30 years, I mean, I've consulted to companies like Kate Spade. I've done a collaboration with J. Crew. I did some work with Disney. I've been on QVC. I was embedded at Estee Lauder Corporation as a vice president there. I've seen so many, such a sort of 360-degree view of indie brands, big corporate, all of these different aspects. And I've always wanted to do beauty differently in terms of doing it without a focus on growth being the main metric for success. And one of the things that I'm really starting to be more vocal on, because I believe it impacts the climate and impacts the environment, is that the idea of growth in beauty needs to be rethought. And the idea that that growth is the key metric means that just more and more product is being put out that isn't necessarily being requested through a demand. It's the supply, creating the supply and then trying to rustle up a demand. And so for me, as I see the changes happening in the climate and as I see more and more of the, yeah.
I'm raising my hand because I'm laughing because when you said that nobody is like the demand isn't there.
It's not there. It's just not there.
Don't you? Okay, I know you're not a big social person,
mm-hmm.
but anytime a new line that's like really dumb comes out, or some stupid, or a celebrity line comes out that is random or just like foolish, there's always like a comment that comes up right underneath, like an Instagram comment or like TikTok, and it's like, nobody asked for this. Like, it's like, that's like a cliche, like a, you know, or like a meme kind of
exactly
caption.
Exactly.
And it's like, they're being factual. Nobody asked for this. Like, the public did not want this. Or Jen and I always talk about, we're not in magazines anymore because like very few people are now just because of the declining state. But when we started versus when we left, the amount of mailings went from, let's say, I'll call it just for fun, 10 bags a day to 25 bags a day. Oh, that's messenger, like, you know, mailings.
Mm-hmm.
But yet the ad pages declined exponentially. The opportunities for placements for these products and the amount of staff, that, like, wait, I don't understand. Why are you sending more things when there's no opportunity to talk about these things? It didn't make sense. Make it make sense. Like, I don't get it.
And it still doesn't actually make sense in terms of that there's actually, I think you could, there are fewer celebrities who don't have beauty brands mm-hmm. than celebrities mm-hmm. that do. And I think part of the sort of culprit for that total sort of tsunami of product that's happened to us in the beauty industry is because of social media and because of the people behind these celebrity brands, which is usually men and it's usually finance men, and, you know, are assuming that if you have X thousands of followers that you can have X thousands of customers. But it's a follower and a customer are two very different things. And so what we've got is this deluge of product because they're assuming that there's a certain level of followers. But a follower is very different to a customer. A customer really needs to connect with the product, not just follow it.
And how many of them are repeat buyers of the celebrity beauty brands?
Well, that's why my business model has always been and will continue to be now that I'm going back out there again, is like really doing one lipstick at a time so that I'm not having to sort of press go on hundreds of thousands of units of single-use plastic. I really feel as an entrepreneur a huge responsibility that if I'm greenlighting a product about the plastic that's being used. Unfortunately, with the way that the manufacturing is at the moment, it's very hard to do anything on a small scale. But during the pandemic, which I basically went into my own beauty invention lab, I've really started to think about how can the beauty industry start delivering product without single-use plastic? And there is ways to do it. And it's not just refills. It's about the whole methodology of how the product gets onto your face.
That makes perfect sense. And I feel like you're one of the rare entrepreneurs who was willing to talk about this problem.
Oh, I actually would like, I will be agitating as I get more out there. I actually believe that in order to reduce the single-use plastic problem, that there's a metric straight away that could help it, and that would be if all the beauty companies had a treaty that they were no longer going to report quarterly growth. Because when you report quarterly growth, that means every 3 months you're reporting your sales, and what bumps up sales is pushing in new products. So there are some industries that need to report quarterly, and there are some industries that do not need to report quarterly, and one of those is beauty. And if beauty entered into a treaty of not reporting quarterly anymore, I can tell you, Jess, the amount of single-use plastic that would not be forced upon this earth would change drastically.
This is like, sorry, I'm just reflecting. It's very depressing.
It's depressing, but I also think, you know, I actually have a lot of hope, and I'll tell you why. I am on the board of a beautiful garden here in New York City, the Elizabeth Street Garden, and which we're trying to save from the city taking back. Anyway, as a result, so I've been working in that garden for 10 years, And I have had so much interaction with what's named Gen Z that I can see that the Gen Z really isn't going to, I think the way in which beauty corporations are still clinging to is just not going to fly for too much longer. I think there's going to be massive change and we're going to enter a post-hierarchy beauty era where it's just completely based on different things because of the values of Gen Z, who are well aware of the fact that they need air and water and four seasons a year in order to reach adulthood.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
It's going to get so much better. I think there's a revolution coming. I really do.
You know what? My friend is convinced. I'm saying my friend as if between you and my friend, it is written. The revolution is coming. But he is so convinced. I hope he's listening. But he went on a whole tirade the other day about he really feels that we're going to hit a tipping point between everything that's just happening in the world. I was like, you know what? I hope you're right.
Absolutely. I think there's a new enlightenment coming. I really do think that. And I really genuinely believe that the beauty business and the beauty industry, the industry that surrounds it, is headed for a huge reckoning.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the amount of waste is getting crazy. We try to be thoughtful here on FM, but yeah, it's a bigger problem. Okay, we've got to wrap up soon and I could just talk to you all day. I'd love to know, you've had so many amazing successes over the years. We've talked about Poppy, Lipstick Queen, so much critical acclaim and commercial success, but I want to know in the future, overall, what does success look like to you?
Well, I think no one's going to be surprised with this answer. I mean, success to me is really about the freedom to live your values. And I think that for me, that it's not a financial, I mean, the financial side comes into it because obviously
you want to live.
You want to live. But success, Jess, for me is being able to live and work and maintain myself as a single woman as close to my values as possible.
Incredible. And can you give our listeners a great piece of advice? Maybe it's something you learned the hard way. Maybe it's something that one of your incredible mentors gave you. You have some very high-profile mentors in this beauty world.
Mm-hmm. I've been very lucky with the people that have come into my life on the highest level. And I think one of the things that I think really stands out to me in terms of advice is actually something that I learned in my last year of high school, and it was, and I didn't really pay much attention in high school. I was more like a distraction in between the weekends. But I remember we were doing a particular media studies course. This is back in Australia in the 80s, and the teacher told us this saying that, when a dog bites a man, that's not news. But when a man bites a dog, that's news. And for me, what I loved about that, and I've pretty much lived my life with that, is understanding that it's being unusual, although it's not an easy path, but really my advice is be original, be unusual, don't do what everybody else is doing, and that's really what leads to success.
Wow, that's great. You've definitely bitten the man a few times. Okay, and why don't you tell us some of your favorite products that you're loving right now? Are you wearing your new lipstick?
I am. Not the first one that's coming out. This is the second one coming out.
Oh, okay. We're already on to the second one. Okay.
I absolutely adore, and you tell me if I'm saying the name properly, Walida, W.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I love that brand. Like, I worship it. I think it's absolutely wonderful jewel of a brand that I actually tried to convince a very big corporation to look into to doing something with it, because I absolutely adore that brand, and because it's all flower based, so obviously I have, and I think the packaging is beautiful. It's so humble and quiet and such a beautiful.
It's a great word. Humble. It's a humble brand.
It is a humble brand. And then the other thing is I've really discovered Revlon mascara. You know, Maybelline is always thought of as the mascara, you know, the mass mascara benchmark. But I have to say there's a Revlon mascara called Eyes Wide Open that
is, I don't know that one.
Oh my God, it's amazing. I mean, it's the before and after on it is incredible. Eyes wide open, and I love that. So I've got to say, Revlon mascaras are really not given enough credit.
I love that. Everyone, head to your drugstore and try a Revlon mascara. I'm rooting for Revlon. I feel like I'm always like, come on. It's such a great brand.
Revlon, there will never, ever be a brand that has had so much influence on the idea of the American woman as Revlon ever again.
All right. And then we're going to wrap up with a quick lightning round FM5. All right. Nothing to prepare for. Just easy breezy. Okay. It's like easy breezy, beautiful. Another one. All right. First beauty product you fell in love with. Need specifics.
Bieber lipstick in what was called Ox Blood. So it was a fairly sophisticated product. But yeah, Bieber lipstick.
Pet peeve.
My pet peeve is when I'm told something can't be done, and when you really drill down on it, it's just a bit that it hasn't been done, but people will put it as it can't be done, when actually it just maybe hasn't been done.
And it's like annoying to do. Okay, it's 12 noon on a Saturday. What are you most likely doing?
Painting. I've started painting in all my lipsticks. So all of the inventory that I had after my wonderful Barney's closed, I decided to repurpose into an art show, which I will be doing a big show coming. So I paint. I paint on canvas with the lipsticks, and I sculpt in lipstick. I've been using all my inventory to turn it into art.
Beautiful. What is the movie you can watch again and again?
Cabaret.
Oh, so good.
I absolutely love Cabaret. And what's so funny about Cabaret is it's like a tale of two cities, in the sense that so many people who see that film just see it as a story of a sort of tragic diva. But really, actually, the underlying story is about the beginnings of the Second World War and that sort of and the incredible Weimar era that was Cabaret, which I think we can learn so much from now.
And then your idea of happiness.
Kitty cats. I just have to say, as I know that there's, you know, any middle-aged woman is scared to admit that because of the stigma, but and animals. I have actually realized that I cannot be happy if I'm not sharing my life with something with four legs.
Let's banish the stigma. There's no stigma. Embrace life with animals. It is so messed up. I said that we're going to make it quick. No, it is so messed up that one must qualify or apologize for a life with animals. They make life good.
They absolutely do, and I don't see it as substitute love. I see it as a whole different love in itself.
It's sublime. I love it. What's your cat's name?
I've got two. One is called Nova. That's the boy, and he was from a shelter. He was called Casanova in the shelter.
Ah,
he's like, a real Casanova, yeah. But I call him Nova. And I've got another little girl called Tiggy.
Oh, enjoy them.
I
so
do.
Lucky of two. I'll keep campaigning, Poppy. Thank you so much. This was so awesome.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thank you so much, Jess, for giving me a chance to speak with such realness about both my story and what I see as the future.
Oh, if only. Let's hope. Let's hope.
Here's to the revolution.
Viva la revolution. It'll happen. It'll happen. Thank you so much, Poppy.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed the show. It's your reviews and feedback that help us make the podcast even better. Head over to iTunes to rate and review us, or email your thoughts to info@fatmascara.com. We also want to answer your beauty questions and hear what products you love. To share a Raise a Wand product review or to ask a beauty question, email us at info@fatmascara. If you send it as a voice memo file, we can even share your voice on the podcast. You can also do that by leaving us a voice message. Our phone number in the United States is 646-481-8182. Thanks so much for listening. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.